Here's a strange thing about climate change. It's actually making the Arctic a more hospitable place for plants. Some scientists suggest that Arctic plant growth could help blunt the effects of climate change by absorbing carbon from the air. But as Nat Herz with Alaska's Energy Desk reports, a new study led by a Fairbanks scientist explains why the Arctic could emit way more carbon than people expected.
There's a ton of carbon that's stuck in permafrost, the frozen ground under much of Alaska. But at least through the end of the century, climate models predict that thawing permafrost won't contribute much to global warming. That's because those models only incorporate one type of thaw, where the permafrost warms slowly down from the surface. Until now, the models actually show the Arctic absorbing more carbon than it emits, thanks to plants that are growing faster and sucking greenhouse gases from the atmosphere. Dave Lawrence is a scientist in Colorado who works on a leading climate model.
Plants grow better when there's high CO2 concentrations, and the warmer seasons, longer growing seasons, have also led to plant carbon uptake. And so that's kind of a fairly well-known feature we've seen in satellite called the Arctic greening.
But there's another type of permafrost thaw happening too, and it's happening much faster. Scientists have known about it for a long time, but it's not included in the models because it's harder to calculate. The thaw comes from a special kind of lake called a thermokarst lake. They form when permafrost starts thawing and the ground sinks down. Then you get a pool of water that helps thaw even more permafrost around and below it. Microbes eat the unfrozen soil and release methane, and because methane is a really powerful greenhouse gas, it turns out that the thermokarst lakes could have a big impact on global warming. Katie Walter Anthony studies thermokarst lakes at University of Alaska Fairbanks.
If we only think about the gradual thaw process, the conclusions are that within this century, permafrost carbon emissions are not very significant. But if we take into account these lakes, we realize, oh, we actually have a significant source of permafrost carbon this century.
Walter Anthony has spent a long time trying to figure out just how significant these thermokarst lake emissions are. Part of her research has involved using helicopters to fly around near Fairbanks, dangling instruments that map permafrost. Last week, she published a paper with several other scientists. It's the first one to model emissions from thermokarst lakes in relation to the gradual widespread thawing of permafrost. And it says that when you include the lakes, carbon emissions from permafrost in the later part of the century could rise by 100% or more, doubling the current projections. They'd roughly match emissions from land use changes like clearing and burning of forests. That's the second largest human source of greenhouse gas pollution after fossil fuels. Lawrence, the Colorado scientist, says the results will likely lead to a bigger effort to incorporate thermokarst lakes into global climate models.
Up until now, we couldn't really quantify the likely size of this potential feedback, and so we didn't know if it was a 5% thing or, in this case, they're estimating it's 100%. But when it's a big number like 100%, then it provides the motivation to do that work.
Lawrence says it will probably take several years before emissions from thermokarst lakes can be projected precisely enough to add to a global model. In the meantime, scientists say that the study's results point to the limitations and uncertainties involved with all global climate models and the way that they inform how humans should respond to climate change. The study says thermokarst lakes could be a headwind to any global emissions reduction plan. Walter Anthony's study is published in the journal Nature Communications. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.